I don't know if any of you have a tendency to be late, but in my experience, I found it's easier to not be noticed if you're not giving the sermon. True story. So Dave gave me a list of topics, and I chose glorification to speak on. And as I was preparing for my sermon, I decided my time would be best spent explaining to everyone what glorification is. I mean, it's only used in the Bible, what, like 30-something times? But how many of us have actually looked glorification up? I can raise my hand only because of the sermon. The dictionary definition of glorification is, it's used to speak of great honor, praise, value, wonder, and splendor. Glorification is tricky when used in the Bible, though, because it's used very loosely in the Bible. It's got a few different meanings. And what I've found is there's really three definitions in which case it's used in the Bible. And the first is that glory is the manifestation of God's greatness and presence that is awesome to behold. What does that mean? What is that, the manifestation of his presence, and his greatness? Well, if you'll turn with me to Exodus 33, I'll be reading verses 12 through 23, followed by Exodus 34, 5 through 7. That was 33, 12 through 23, and 34, 5 through 7. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and have found favor, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Now we know that after this happened, Moses went down from the mountain and his face was radiant. And that's just one example of the manifestation of God. And the next I found is 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 through 13. That's 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Now, I know that these are profound and memorable verses in the Bible, memorable stories. And we think, well, these people actually got to see the manifestation of God. You know, if we could see that, we too would have that kind of faith. But the easiest example that I can give you of the manifestation of the glory of God is just look around. Did not God create everything in the beginning? We are examples of God's glory and manifestation. I won't go off on a tangent, but the very idea that someone can not believe in God is ridiculous because the evidence is staring them in the face. Now, the second definition of glorification in the Bible is God gives glory to people. And I found this to be true in the book of Psalm, chapter 8. I'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 9. That's Psalm 8, 1 through 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, and what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, I chose this chapter because it really puts into perspective the relationship of how God gives glory to people. Because if you thought about man and his rightful place when reading this chapter, I would urge you to read it again. It's not about man. I mean, can you imagine how the verse looked when David wrote it? If you bear with me for a second, this is how I think it went down. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe of the avenger. When I consider your work, your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? It's not about man. This entire chapter is devoted to God and his glory. Glory God gives is a reflection of his glory. It's not earned and certainly not inherited. This is further exemplified with David as he's glorified when we read about his victory over Goliath in 1 Samuel and later when he becomes king. David achieved honor, value, praise, all the things that are listed in the definition. But he didn't earn them. He was given to them by God. Now, the last definition I found is people giving glory to God. And at first, that idea kind of blows our minds, right? Like, people don't have glory. How can people give glory to God? God is this infinite being where his very nature is glorious. And that's why it's kind of tricky in the Bible. Because it's not meant the same way which God gives glory, or his manifestation of glory. Humans are flawed. We're sinful. So what can we do? We can praise God. In Matthew 11:35, I'll read about how Jesus praised God. That's Matthew 11:35. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children." Next, I'll be reading Romans 12:1-2. That's Romans 12:1-2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So how can we give glory to God? When we live by God's will, doesn't that give glory to God? When we pray to God, when we pray for God to work through us, when we pray for God to give us strength to guide us, when we praise God, doesn't that give glory to God? When we actively fellowship and participate in our communities, are we not vessels through which God's glory shines? Are we not then lights unto the world? If you've been baptized, it's something to think about. If you have not been baptized, it's still something to think about. You're standing in view of God's glory. If you believe in God and his Son, whom he sent to die for us, and if you love God, then come forward right now as we stand to sing.